When he moved into this area, he got involved in a local common, you know, a Fianna Fáil common. It was quite strong down here, but generally this wouldn't have been a Fianna Fáil area. It'd be more, you know, Cosgrove only lives down the road here, you know, so quite a following down there or around here. So, well, he was that way inclined, and he was public spirited at any time, like even as a chap growing up. Before he went to Australia at all, or before the Civil War and all started, he did voluntary work building the church in the parish, drawing stones from the quarry. With, you know, he was always involved in things like that. And so the same thing applied when he went to Australia. The same thing applied when he went to Australia. The Catholic population in Tully, there was a state school with no religion in it, and there was a lot of Catholic, Irish Catholics and Italian Catholics and other people with the Catholic faith decided to build themselves a school, and they invited nuns from somewhere to come in and teach at it. But they were all involved in voluntary work, building the church and building the school, as well as earning their living, like, you know. So they were all, he had that public spirit thing about him, like, you know. There were so many Irishmen out there that decided to start an Irish club, and he was the first chairman of it.
What did they call it?
The Irish club, they called it.
Just the Irish?
Yeah. And I was talking to an old man afterwards whose father would have been in that era. And he said it was the first Irish club founded in Australia. I mean, several more followed afterwards, but in the writing up the history of the place, it came out as the first Irish club in Australia. And it was a great home away from home. Like, they got their own premises, and great home away from home for fellows, single fellows, you know, who'd be working in the area.
And wanted to meet somebody.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It was a place where they could all meet.
And contacts and those.
Yeah.
So, when he topped the poll, he topped the poll, didn't he, down at Wexford, you were saying, It showed the popularity, I suppose, for the man, you know, that he was...
It's not for me to be blown my cold, but he was described by an opponent who was in the... one of the old parliamentary men. No, if my memory was better than it is, I'd be able to tell you. But he was on the opposite course, up on the opposite side of the...
Can I put those down there?
He was on the opposite side to my father anyway, and my father was on the way back from Australia. He was invited back, and there was great preparations made for him coming back. And this man... made a speech and mentioned, like, you know, about the necessity for to healing wounds and that kind of thing, and that if there was any one individual who would be helpful, that would be Bob Lambert, who was considered in his day as being the Robin Hood. He was considered to be the Robin Hood of Wexford, and he was, you know, everybody talked about Bob Lambert. And that's what he said. He was considered to be the Robin Hood of Wexford. And he'd be one man that would help to heal the divisions.
The old wounds.
Yeah. So, you know, that was... I have actually evidence of that, you know, on a newspaper. Because I have gone into a lot of that, you know. Yeah. But off my head now, just... That's what it came up.
Yeah. Fascinating, in his old age, I suppose, was he always a strong follower of the Fianna Fáil party?
Well, he would have been. Yeah.
He was a De Valera man, or did he ever fall out? Like, did he ever?
No, he never walked away. He was loyalty was one of his big, you know, things. He wouldn't. And most of the older Fianna Fáil ministers would have known him. You know, he could walk into any government building any time and get a hearing from various men, like, you know. He was well known.
Right, yeah, but he would have been the I'm just thinking of Cathal Brú and all these original founder members.
Yeah.
So when he came back, yeah,